Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Mundo Albiceleste's podcast. It's a sad day for me because, well, not only are the Olympics over, but my team got cheated out of a gold medal. Let's put it that way. But we're not going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about the Germany match. We're going to talk about everything else, everything concerning Argentina. And to do that, I'm joined by John in Malaysia. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Roy. How about you? And yes, of course, this podcast should be mainly focused about Argentina. But if, Roy, if there's any moment that you like to let out your feelings about what happened, you know, this is the chance. But before that, we want to welcome back our good old friend, Seba from Buenos Aires. So where are you, Seba?
Hola, I'm at home in Buenos Aires right now. And it's a pleasure to be back because I really wanted to participate and post things and do the podcast, but I was really, really busy working. I was working with the Winter Olympics, but remotely. I did it from Buenos Aires this time, and I really enjoyed it, especially the hockey final. I know not all of us in this team, in this Mundo Albiceleste team, enjoyed that game as much as I did, but I sure did, and I'm really happy to have worked in this event, even if it was from afar. But right after the games were over, I really needed to participate in this podcast and start focusing on this crucial friendly match that we have against Germany on Wednesday. So I know it's been busy while I was gone. I know it's been busy because I check Mundo every day, of course, and I try to comment every chance that I have. But John, put me up to speed. What's been going on Mundo in these recent weeks? I know there's been a lot of things developing, and I know we had a poll, and maybe we have the results for this podcast.
Well, yes, of course. Roy was doing this particular poll about the possible list of players that we as fans of Argentina would like to see in the World Cup. And the list of players includes names that have been previously called up by Diego and also previously even by Bielsa. So we will be looking into that poll. But I guess for me, in my opinion, the biggest thing that really took place or kind of like shook things up in Mundo was the fact that when we unveiled the list of players that will play for the friendly match against Germany, in which we had a massive 145 comments altogether, with everybody giving their own opinions about the starting 11, who should be there, and including one particular reader who actually revealed that he actually has Diego Maradona's phone number, which we are still waiting for him to reply back that number to us.
Make sure he doesn't call in the morning, because we all know Diego won't answer in the morning. You can try after midnight and he'll probably have his phone open. But anyway, we are eager to get that number if our friend has it. And Roy, John mentioned that we had this poll running and we asked everyone to come up with their preferred World Cup squad. And we got a lot of votes coming in. But if you had to write an article about this, can you give us the headline of this, of the results of the poll? We're going to unveil the results later on in this show, but give us just the headline.
Surprisingly enough, it would be that Gabriel Ince has made the list with the lucky number 13. Ince received 13 votes and makes the list for the final 23. So it would probably be that. We received several votes.
No, but Gabriel Ince make the list? Okay, I really have to go. Sorry. Give us some good news.
Well, some good news is that well, Lionel Messi made the list. Diego Milito, your what seems to be all-time favorite player, greatest player of all time, in your opinion, he made the list. But I won't give out too much. But yeah, so in the end, Heinze made the list, but there's also some positives in it.
Nice. Okay, so I would like to take this opportunity to talk about Diego Milito. And it seems to be installed on Mundo that I have a man crush on him or some some kind of thing, but it's really not the case. I mean, he's not my favorite player. And I really like him, and I feel attached to him because he came up through the youth ranks of my favorite team in Argentina, as Sergio Romero did, and as Lisandro López or Maxi Morales. But I think I took this Diego Milito's cause because what I was watching seemed so unfair in my eyes. I mean, and I thought that I had to do something in regards of getting people to appreciate Diego Milito the way he deserves to be appreciated, because the mainstream media doesn't do it for him. He does it, they do it for Palermo, they do it for Tevez, they do it for Agüero, for Messi, they do it for all the other forwards in Argentina, and Diego Milito barely gets a mention. And when they mentioned Diego Milito, they said, "Oh, well, he never worked. He never really clicked it for playing for Argentina, or he does it for Inter or for Zaragoza or for Genoa, but he never does it for Argentina." And I think that's really unfair because obviously he gets to start and to play 90 minutes for all the clubs we mentioned, and the results are there for everyone to see. But when it comes to Argentina, it's really hard to produce when you only get 16 minutes there, 8 minutes over there in Ecuador, or you get introduced to the game when we are losing 3-1 to Brazil, and then you miss a chance, and everyone will crucify you for that. So that's why I decided to defend Diego Milito in a way, and I really hope he gets the opportunity to play against Germany, and I would hope he gets to start, because we all know what Gonzalo Higuaín can do, and we all know that he got a chance to start against Peru and he scored. I mean, we know that he works well with Messi. We have already seen that, but we never seen Diego Milito playing up front with Messi for 90 minutes, and that's all I'm asking. That's all I want to see before the World Cup starts, or even in the World Cup. But I hope that my point it's made, and I repeat, Diego Milito is not my favorite player, and I know he's below Lionel Messi, and in my opinion, he's also below Carlos Tevez when it comes to talent and to merit to be in the national team, even though Carlos Tevez really needs to step up playing for the national team because he's coming from a very disappointing World Cup qualifying campaign. But right now, he seems to have found his old form. He's scoring every day for Manchester City. He's coming to Argentina to stay with his prematurely born daughter, and then he returns to England, and right off the plane, he scored twice at Stamford Bridge. I mean, that's something you can't deny, and I hope he continues with his form but playing for Argentina as well. So that's it. That's my relationship with Diego Milito explained. So we can move forward now.
Well, maybe you can let us know that how many votes did Diego Milito had in your particular list?
Milito actually beat out Sergio Aguero. Milito received 21 votes, which is quite high.
And also, sorry to interrupt you there, but you have to have in mind that I haven't voted, so there's no way I have influenced that. I mean, it wasn't my vote that got Diego Milito's the win over Kun Agüero.
Well, I guess it just
Okay,
goes to
so what?
shows that. No, I'm just saying that I guess it goes to shows that you're not the only one, Seba, that is looking at Milito. I'm sure every other fans of Argentina are also looking at him because at the end of the day, when you're a striker, the only stats that really matters is the number of goals you score. And I guess in Milito's case, he has proven over and over again for every club he has played, including little-known clubs like Genoa and even Zaragoza, that he can score goals. And he also and also take into consideration that Spain and Italy is probably the two toughest league in the world, in my opinion. And for someone like that, not being able to give a to be, to get a decent chance in the national team, it's really sad in my opinion. And I just hope that although I'm just saying this in a sense of wishful thinking, but I really hope that something does change after this, especially for this Germany game.
Yeah, and to think that for all the talent and the hype around Samuel Eto'o and the move from Barcelona to Inter, you have to watch Inter and see that the main striker and the first option for Jose Mourinho is not Samuel Eto'o, it's Diego Milito. And that's like, I think that's more than 1,000 words can do. I mean, we can speak all day, but in reality, he's starting for the champions of Italy and he's scoring at will as well. And he painted the face of the captain of England, John Terry, when Inter played Chelsea last week. So he does it week in and week out. And I really hope he gets the chance to play more for Argentina. All day talking about Diego Milito, we better talk about other things.
No, I just wanted to correct you. That is a former England captain.
Oh yeah.
Because he's such a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a piece of work. I'll tell you that much.
We can an entire podcast about John Terry as well, but it's not it's not appropriate.
That's true.
But he's been killed in 1 week, not only by the press in England, but by Diego Milito for the Champions League and by Carlos Tevez in the Premier League. So I think we're good to go.
Okay, so before we move on to something else, just one little quick statistic concerning Diego Milito. In the World Cup qualifiers for Argentina, Milito played 6 matches. Out of those 6 matches, he only received 157 minutes. 6 matches, 157 minutes for a striker is not much at all. It's an average of 26 minutes a match. 26 minutes a match, I don't know how you could expect any striker in the world to do anything with those types of minutes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. So, moving on. My latest post on Mundo, right before we recorded this podcast, was about something that happened with Nike and Diego Maradona, and I've seen some reaction on the comments box, and one reader is saying that we're always negative about stuff, and I don't think we've been negative in when it comes to this. The user I referred to is ARG_717. He says, don't get me wrong, but why all of us are always negative? Are you 100% sure? I take it he said, are you 100% sure that Maradona did it only for the money? If sure, then it's okay, but how we many be here for Argentina, for us not to, for money? Or okay, anyway, I am 100% sure of what happened. Because one colleague of mine who works for Sports Center in Argentina, he told me on Sunday that the people from Nike have approached Sports Center and told them about this new campaign that they're having, this new advertising campaign, in which they will urge people to forget about Mexico 1986 and rewrite history. And this guy told me that Diego Maradona was coached by the people of Nike as well, for him to say more or less the same. And to be honest, I have no problem with Diego making some money from advertisement. I have no problem at all with that. And the only thing is, this message coming from Nike is completely opposite to the message that Diego Maradona has been sending out since he took over with Bilardo. I mean, and I've said this many, many times in previous podcasts and in previous posts, and I've been saying this, that they're trying to recreate the same atmosphere that they have in the build-up for Mexico 86, where they were really fighting with the media. They tried to come up with parallels like the friendly against Israel before the World Cup. They even said that the goal Palermo scored against Peru was exactly the same that Ricardo Gareca had scored against Peru in a 2-all draw in Buenos Aires for the World Cup qualifying campaign before the Mexico 86 World Cup. So on and on, they've been going on and on about how similar the situation is with this current national team and the one in 85 before the 86 World Cup. And for them right now to come out with a different message just because an American company approached them and gave them some money, I find it not only contradictory, but in a way, I don't know if I have to say it, offensive, but I find it almost ridiculous. I mean, in the same press conference, Maradona says, we are fighting the media like we did in 86. The media thinks that we are going to end last in our group. And then he continues speaking and he says, we have to forget about 86, which is exactly what Nike is promoting in this commercial campaign. And I don't know if you clicked on www.ole.com.r or clarin.com. These are two newspapers from the same company, and they are advertising this Nike campaign. So if you go to those websites, you'll see this ad in which the number 1986 is scratched with the Celeste painting. And then you see 2010, let's rewrite history, written all over the place. So it's no coincidence. It can be a coincidence. I mean, I had this inside source, and the day after it was confirmed. I didn't post anything before it was confirmed by the man himself. I mean, you can't hide the fact that he said, let's forget about 86 for the first time since he took over. He never said, let's forget about the 86 before this Nike campaign came public. And I found a couple of Brazilian websites with this information about Nike releasing this campaign. But I haven't found anything in the mainstream media of Argentina, which comes to confirm what I'm thinking and what I'm already sure of. So I don't know what's your take on this, John. I mean, not only about the fact that Diego gets paid by a company to endorse a message, but do you find it contradictory the same way I do, or what's going on in your head right now when it comes to this?
Well, definitely one thing I can say is I'm a bit confused about what Diego is trying to preach here, because every time when I keep hearing saying about the history of Argentina, and also even many times remembering reading his own autobiography about how important was the 1986 World Cup was, not just to him, not just to the players, but to the entire people of Argentina, and I'm pretty sure even for the fans of Argentina back then. And here you are coming to all of us and asking us to forget about that. Well, on one hand, I have to agree with you. It does sound like he is doing it for the money. But when I'm reading this particular text here that you're saying that he was saying that I don't want to see my goals from 1986 over and over again. Argentina needs new heroes. We haven't won anything for 24 years, and you can live in the past and so on. It can also be a motivation factor for the guys in the dressing room to say that, well, the stage is all yours right now. It's time for you guys to make a name for yourself. And that's just how I feel.
And you, Roy, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I have to agree with both of you. Whenever you hear Diego talking prior to a match or anything like that, he always seems to have that, you know, us against the world mentality. And like you said, it was like that in 1986 as well. So, you know, us against the world, people expect the worst of us, but we're going to battle through it and we're going to win. And then he comes out and makes a statement like this. But at the same time, I have to agree with John in the sense that if the players really want to believe it, they could, you know, rile up and this could pump them up. You know, pump them up ahead of the match against Germany and ahead of the World Cup. So it depends what side you want to view it on. Now, ethically, I think Diego's an idiot. In the sense that, look, I mean, I have no problem if he wants to make money on the side, that's fine. But for Diego, of all people, to come out and say something like that, you know, to being pressured pretty much by money, to say that, I find that really unlike Diego. I mean, it's not the first time Diego contradicts himself. It's far from it. But I think it's the first time that Diego has been pressured by money and by an American company to do or to say something. And that's what really surprises me.
Yeah, well, one thing, I have many things to say, but the first, what really bothers me is that this is all an undercover operation, it seems. Because it's not like Diego is saying, okay, like the Nike people are saying, let's forget about 86. It's like he's pretending to really think what he's saying. And I don't think he thinks what he's saying. I mean, and to the people of Nike, I would like to say, no, I don't want to forget 1986. I want to relive it. I don't want to forget it. I mean, it was the joyous moment that I had supporting Argentina. Why would I want to forget that? I mean, I know that the people of Nike wants to keep on fighting this battle with Adidas, and Adidas is, as you know, the main sponsor of Argentina. We wear Adidas since as long as I can remember, and I understand that the strategy Nike is having here is to try and forget the 86 World Cup, because especially because Adidas tried and went the other route, because they clearly went for two shirts that are really, really similar to the ones we wore in 86. The Albiceleste and the blue one, they're really, really similar to those from 86. So while Adidas is trying to, or Adidas is trying to get closer to 86, Nike is of course going the other route. But I don't want to forget about 86. I mean, I want to relive it, but not erase it from my memory. And I'm sure Diego Maradona doesn't want to forget 86. I mean, he played the best any footballer played in the history of the game during that month in Mexico. So I find it all very confusing. And I have to agree with John anyway when he says that it could be a motivational factor. But I think the message is getting confused anyway, because Diego is saying, do as I did in 86, but now he's saying forget about 86, start all over again. So I guess players are already galvanized. They don't say it publicly, but I guess they're already galvanized, and the initial fascination with Diego as a manager, I think it has already faded, and they are now surviving Maradona instead of feeding from his motivation. I mean, they're just there trying to do the thing without Diego interfering that much, and I don't think they're managing to do it so far, because the level of performances that we've seen from them so far is far from ideal. And I still hope that the team will click and will gel when they have 1 month to work together and to really create some team spirit. And I think that's our only chance if we're gonna go far in South Africa. Maybe we do. Maybe we fire on all cylinders during that month, and that's it. There's no way you can deny that we have the talent to do it. What we really need is the tactics and some instructions for the players to be able to express themselves better on the field. Enough with this Nike controversy. Now it's time for us to speak about the game, Argentina against Germany on Wednesday. And what about the lineup? I mean, this is what's been rumored, and then we'll see whether we agree or not with Maradona. I've been reading and hearing, and journalists that are covering in Germany are suggesting that Sergio Romero will start on goal. Then the pair of central defenders will be Walter Samuel and Martin De Michelis. On the left, you know who. On the right, yeah, I won't name him. I want Gabriel Heinze on the left. And then on the right, there's a doubt between Nicolas Otamendi or Nicolas Burdizo. I will talk about the right back position in a minute, but moving on. Javier Mascherano and Juan Sebastián Verón working together in the middle. Ángel Di María on the left, Jonás Gutiérrez on the right, and up front is Messi together with either Higuaín or Diego Milito. So basically, are saying there are only two doubts, and one is at the right back position, and the other one is up front, who's going to be together with Messi playing up front. So what is your opinion on this possible lineup against Germany? John, go first.
Well, I'm actually quite happy by the fact that Burdizo is on the right as compared to the name, which I don't want to mention, that is playing on the left. Well, I guess up front, I think more or less maybe 80 to 90%, we can kind of say it's probably the best lineup when you look at the list of players that is available here. And what I'm, as much as everybody else, I'm very more excited to see who will be partnering Messi up front. And somehow or other, I think I got a gut feeling it might be Diego Milito. Hopefully I'm right.
And you, Roy?
I gotta agree with John on this one. Milito seems to be, I mean, they're both Higuain and Milito are on a hot streak right now. But we've seen what Higuain can do with Messi up front. They played together against Peru, they played together against Uruguay, they played together against Spain. But I'd really like to see what Milito can do alone with Messi up front. The few times we've seen Milito play with Messi, if I'm not mistaken, the last time was against Venezuela, when the match was already won 4-0. But this one, no, this one I would go with Milito, just for the fact that I want to see what he could do, if given the proper chance to start and gets at least, you know, 60-65 minutes. It'd be really fun to see. If Higuain starts, it doesn't mean I would, you know, I wouldn't be pissed off or anything like that. Obviously not. I'm an Higuain fan as well. But I would prefer to see Milito start just for the simple fact to see what he can do. Midfield, I mean, it's what I think we were all expecting. I don't think anyone was really, really expecting Maradona to start with Javier Pastore instead of Verón. Di María was always going to be a lock on the left. Mascherano was always going to start. And on the right, it was always going to be Gutierrez. So, I mean, we've had worse lineups. Let's just put it that way. It's not a horrible lineup. And I think if the team is clicking, we could definitely beat Germany.
My main problem with this, not only the lineup, but the list that Diego released was, why are you playing with the back four and you don't call up no natural right back to play, not only against Germany, but if we were facing any opposition, it would have been the same. Because Diego is debating between Nicolas Otamendi and Nicolas Burdizo to play at right back, and none of them are natural right backs. I mean, they're central defenders, and they will be playing out of position. Why do you play with footballers that are going to be playing out of position? If you have, it's not like you have a limited squad to select from. It's not like you're working at a club and you only have to select those players who are under contract for you. I mean, there's a whole universe of Argentine players around that you could select, and you tell me that there's no natural right back for you to pick and to play a good team like Germany, having a proper lineup. I mean, that's my main problem with this list and this lineup, because we have Javier Zanetti available and we're not using him. Instead, we're playing with players that are out of position. I mean, I don't get it. It's the same thing that happened with Beckerman in 2006. It's not like I'm having a go at Diego because I like to have a go at Diego. I mean, I really like Beckerman, but when I had to criticize him, I did. And when I had to compliment him, I also did. But he took Nicolas Burdizo to the World Cup in 2006 and played him as a right back. And he also had Lionel Scaloni playing there, where we all know Javier Zanetti's far better than those two. And to prove it, I mean, he played Nicolas Burdizzo as a right back when at club level, Burdizzo was not playing as a right back. He was a left back, and Javier Zanetti was a right back. I mean, that was ridiculous. But that's my main problem with this list, and I have to subscribe to every word you said about the striking partnership. Because I said it before in this podcast, I would really, really love to see what Lionel Messi and Diego Milito can do together. Because Diego Milito is the kind of striker that will have no problems assisting the other forward. He's not like a selfish kind of striker. He can play with his teammates, and he can hold on to the ball. He can play with his back towards the opposing goal, and he can assist and play with his teammates. So I would really love to see Diego Milito getting a chance to start with Messi up front. And as Roy said, I will have no problem if Higuain is the main choice, but we already seen him, and I think this is a good opportunity to test things that we haven't tested yet. So that's my take on it.
Just one comment concerning the right back position. I'll be honest, I don't know much about Clemente Rodriguez, but I saw him against Barcelona at the Club World Cup, and if I'm not mistaken, he played, it was either right back or on the right side of midfield, and it looked pretty impressive. I don't know what his natural position is, but I'm just wondering what the point is to get someone all the way from Argentina to Germany, have him take a long flight just to sit on the bench.
Yeah, well, Clemente is he's a good player, and he can play on the left or the right. He can play the two positions. But the thing is, when Clemente played, we were under Basile. I remember that game very well. It was the first game Basile was in charge in his second spell as a national team manager. And Clemente had a nightmare. We were playing Brazil, and we were killed in the counterattack, if you remember. It was a game in London, we lost 3-0 with Kaká scoring one and Elano scoring the other two. And he was terrible, but I don't think he was terrible because of his inability to play, because I know he can play. He was terrible because he was a victim of the system and the way Basile organized the team in that particular game. The way I see it is a great option going forward, but I don't know if he's as solid as a defender. I mean, he can join in the attack. He's very fast. He knows how to play with the ball at his feet, but he's lacking in height. Maybe Maradona is looking for a taller defensive unit, having in mind that we are playing against Germany. Perhaps if the opposition was South Korea, they're not so tall, but they're really fast, then Clemente would have been a better fit for that particular game. So it could be that Diego is not trusting Clemente to start this game because of the lack of height. Because if you check all across the back, we'll have a pretty tall defensive unit, with either Burdizzo or Otamendi, plus Heinze and Samuel and the Michelis. They're all pretty good in the air, all of them. So we're going to have to wait and see. Perhaps Clemente is introduced in the second half. But I don't see it as a mistake if Maradona chooses to leave Clemente on the bench, because we will be pretty unbalanced when it comes to our midfield, and when it comes to the left and right lanes of the pitch, because Di Maria especially is pretty offensive minded, and he doesn't do much when it comes to chase our rivals and try to win the ball back. For that we already have Mascherano, but in a game like this, I would have preferred to play with a left midfielder more in the mold of Esteban Cambiaso, but we all know Diego doesn't like him.
You're stuck with what you have.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're gonna keep you posted on the news, on this team news before the game against Germany. And speaking of which, what if we unveil the secret that you both mentioned in the last edition of the podcast? Because I know I knew what you were talking about, but I was intrigued anyway. So, what are we going to do tomorrow, or sorry, on Wednesday for this particular game? Would you mind telling me, Roy?
Yeah, well, I guess we better announce it now. Really, really what it is as you all know, during whenever Argentina plays, we have a huge, I don't want to say party, but we have a huge chat, and we always have a lot of people in the chat, and we always talk about the match and everything, and it's fun. But really, the chat that we're with now kind of limits what we could do, which is why beginning tomorrow, Wednesday, the match against Germany, we're introducing a new chat system. Now, whether this chat system is going to be exclusively only for the matches or if we're going to keep it forever remains to be seen. But I will say this is that it's 10 times better than what we have now. Screen-wise, size-wise, it's bigger. Not only that, but we could do much more with it. And by that, I mean, for example, let's say during a halftime, people always say, "Oh, well, you know, I think Mascherano was the best player on the pitch, or I think Messi was the best player, or I think Gutierrez was the worst player." Well, now what we could do with this chat is we could actually put up a poll. And a window will pop up, and it can ask you, who do you think, in your opinion, was the best player on the pitch? And you could pick, and you could see the results live as people vote. And I think that is a huge plus for us. And not only that, we could also we also have like a little scoreboard type of thing, where it'll likely be updated every 5 minutes or whenever a goal is scored. And it'll tell you know, the score line, who scored, who got a yellow card, who got a red card, who got substituted. As well, we could also have live videos of the goals. For example, let's say Messi scores against Germany. Well, the second that video or that goal is on YouTube or any other channel, any other website, we could automatically take the link and embed it into the chat, and you could see it live. So, in terms of what we can do with it, it's a lot more and it's a lot better than what we have now. It's just a matter of, are we going to permanently keep it or not?
It's a way to experience our usual gatherings a little bit more. And I really, it's one of the things that I love the most about Mundo Albiceleste, the way we can all get together from every corner of the world and share our links to watch the game, or people who are working at the moment and they can't access any live stream website, they hear everything that's going on, or they read everything that's going on through our tiny little Mundo chat. But now we're taking it one step forward, and I think it's everybody will love it, and we're really excited and looking forward to use it for the first time. So basically, you have to do nothing but join. There's no registration needed. There's no need to download any program. Just visit Mundo Albiceleste during the game or in the build-up for the game, and you'll be able to join in and send us your comments and basically enjoy the game watching it with us. It'll be our pleasure as always.
Exactly. Pretty much all that is it's the same thing as the chat we have now in terms of accessibility. You just put in your name. Once that's in, you could just go ahead and chat as normal. And also, in case I forget a few things, I'm gonna be typing up not a resume, but I'm gonna be typing up a post, and that will be posted on Mundo. And basically, it's going to go into the details exactly what the chat is, what the chat can do, and so yeah. In case you forget or whatnot, it's going to be on Mundo, and I'll list the features that there are.
Right. So we're really looking forward for that, and we want to have people from every part of the world joining in. And John, what do you think if we share with the audience some of the emails that have been reaching our email address, mundo.albiceleste@gmail.com?
Well, for sure. I mean, we've been getting a couple of emails from our readers after the last podcast, and we appreciate them very much. The first email is from Camilo de la Loza Livini, and she goes by the nickname of La Champions Liga. And,
It's a he, it's Camilo.
okay, all right.
A Champions League guy, it's probably a site, a website he's got, but it's a he.
It's a he. Okay. And
Sorry, Camilo.
basically the email is that I recently started reading your blog and desperately trying to find some real Argentina fans to discuss things. Well, guess what? You found Mundo Albiceleste. There's no other better place to find fans of Argentina from anywhere in the world except in Mundo Albiceleste. So welcome. And of course, he actually gave us his first 11. In which it says Romero will start in keeper, Zanetti at right, Insua on the left, Demichelis and Samuel in central defense, Mascherano and Banega in central midfield, and there's a three across attacking midfield with Messi on the right, Aima in the center, and Di Maria on the left, with Milito being the lone striker up front. And he wants us to know what do we think about this lineup. So, Roy, what do you think about this?
Attacking wise, it's really good, but I think we would get killed on the defensive end. You're going with Insua and Zanetti on the flanks, two players who love to move forward. And as good as the two central midfielders are, we would get killed on the counter. Not only that, I don't think there's anyone who can distribute the ball from midfield to attack. I mean, I know Messi's there, but Messi isn't exactly, a born or a natural playmaker in the sense that he could carry the ball from midfield to attack. And I think that's what's lacking in that starting 11, in that formation. If you were to put someone like Aymar in there and get rid of the third striker and possibly go for a 4-3-3, then we're talking. Then, yeah, you have someone who can transport the ball from midfield to attack. But if you start with that lineup, chances are you might score goals, but you're probably going to leak in a lot more.
Yeah, I see this lineup as a valid option when you're trailing and you're desperate to score a draw, and you need to go forward and you need to move forward. I mean, it's not a back four. I really like it, and the pair of central midfielders are probably the best right now that we have. But I don't know about the four attacking players. It's too many attacking players and too little help for Mascherano and Banega when it comes to try and win the ball back. I mean, in a perfect world, football would be like this: a lot of forward players and less defenders. But
That's the Bielsa system though, right? Marcelo Bielsa. Attack, attack, attack.
But it's not a bad effort from Camilo, and we appreciate that he got in touch, like Vikram, our old friend Vikram did. And this is a guy who's been writing to us for many months now, and he said it's been a long time. Last time I wrote to you was on the eve of the Uruguay game, which I predicted. So I predicted a 1-0 win to us. So thanks for that, Vikram. I should have listened to you before the game and put some money in the agency, if it's legal in your country. So don't do it at home. Just
Kids, don't try this at home.
don't. So he says, by the way, please tell everyone that Diego will take the following to the World Cup: Gabi Milito, Ezequiel Garay, Cambiaso, Zanetti. The real joke would be Diego calling up Riquelme just before the 23 are submitted. That wouldn't be a shock, but it would be welcoming. So, yeah, I think none of those names are going to make it to the World Cup.
Probably not.
And I would be sad to see Cambiaso and Zanetti missing out. I would understand Gabriel Milito missing out because of his injury history. And Ezequiel Garay, you probably need to show something else in the remainder of the season. But I'm really not up to speed when it comes to Ezequiel Garay. Is he playing? Is he injured? I really don't know. Can you guys help me?
Well, to be honest, I've been watching a few Madrid matches, and he's been starting most of them. He's probably been starting 95% of them, and the ones that he hasn't started, he's come on as a substitute, and he's been doing pretty well. I gotta say, I wasn't expecting the kid to do this good with Madrid, but he is. He's definitely stepping up his game. I don't want to say he's their best defender, because I think that might be a bit of a stretch, but he deserves a look with the national team. This would have been a perfect opportunity to see what he could do against Germany, or against Israel before the World Cup. But by then the list would be out. But I would like to see how he could do with this crop of players that we have now.
Right. And so before we finish with this email from Bikram Mangat, he's giving us this his first starting 11 versus Germany. And he will start with Romero, Samuel and De Michelis in the middle. He's going with the back three, Samuel, De Michelis and Heinze. Then Gutierrez and Mascherano in the middle, with joined by Verón and Di Maria. I suppose he's putting Verón on the right and Di Maria on the left. And then Messi, Higuaín and Tevez up front. So I don't think he's going to see his preferred lineup on Wednesday. But again, it's a good effort. I mean, three at the back, I don't know how would that work. And with Jonas and Mascherano as our defensive midfielders, I don't know. I see it as it has some positives in this lineup, but I don't know if I would go with three at the back.
No, not even I. Because I think we did, it's a formation that looks almost very much the same as it was in 2002, and that's where we got killed. Especially when you talk about Hinze being more or less a left back kind of player playing in central defense. Because I remember in 2002 we had Placente, who was kind of like accommodated to play in that position, and we suffered a lot.
Yeah, I think had it been any other match aside from Germany, had it been a lesser, you know, strong team, I would like to see that, just to see how it would go. But because it's Germany, I really think we have to win this match. Not you know, for the record books, or to say, yeah, you know, we beat Germany, but I think the morale of the team right now, it's pretty low. And I think a victory against a top team like Germany can really do wonders in terms of the attitude within the team.
Yeah, and is it Germany or is it World 11? I mean, none of those players are from Germany. Right.
Well, I guess that
they have a few.
Well, I guess that's football and globalization goes hand in hand these days.
Yeah.
If you look at Podolski and Klose, if I'm not mistaken, they're both born in Poland. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that in the sense that, if I'm not mistaken, they both grew up in Germany. They were just both born in Poland. So that I don't mind, but when you have someone from, you know, Turkish descent, or someone from Russia, or someone from, you know, I think it's Mario Gomez from Spain, then I think you're kind of pushing it a bit, or Cacau, the Brazilian. I think that's just a bit too much. I could deal with Klose and Podolski, since they both grew up in Germany, as far as I know, but someone like Mario Gomez or Cacau, that's too much for me.
Yeah, we have Gonzalo Higuaín, who was born in France, but that's about it. That's the only case we have.
But yeah, but even that, I mean, his father's Argentinian, his mom's Argentinian. It's just the fact that his dad was playing in France at the time. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. And Also, here's a good message that we got from Toti in comments in our comments box, and he comes up with a whole list of the German players that are not actually born in Germany. So we have Taski from Turkey, or well, he says Turkish born in Germany. So I don't know if he qualifies. But then we've got Piotr Trochowski from Poland, Lukas Podolski from Poland, Kakao from Brazil, Miroslav Klose from Poland, Mario Gomez from Spain, Mesut Ozil from Turkey, Sami Khedira from Tunisia, Jerome Boateng from Ghana, and Marko Marin from Bosnia. So almost the whole team, says Toti here, and we thank him for that piece of information. That comes really handy. So yeah, it's World 11. It's not Germany. They should change the name, and we should play the game elsewhere, not in Germany.
But if you look at it, I mean, Germany isn't exactly short on talent. They've never been short on talent. They've always been a top, powerful country. But it's weird that they would go with these naturalized players because they've always taken pride
I don't really
in
think that these
Germany.
guys are naturalized German because I think the majority of them are born in Germany, but it's just that they come from different ethnic background. I think all of them except for Kakao, because I think Kakao, he is purely Brazilian and he has played there for about a decade or so. So I guess that's where he qualified for the German passport.
Yeah, no, I'm saying this a little bit tongue in cheek. I mean, it's not like I'm protesting or anything. I'm just having some fun. But just like Valdano said it, Valdano, the guy who played in Mexico 86 and now he's a director at Real
Real
Madrid,
Madrid.
Jorge Valdano, he said football is a sport that it's played 11 players on each side and the Germans always win. That's the way he defined football, and sometimes, and
It
he's
makes
right
sense.
more, yeah, he's right more times than he's wrong. So
So I
that's
guess it's a good thing for us because if that's the case, we are not playing Germany on Wednesday. We are playing World
exactly.
11.
I saw a photo. I remember it was I forget the teams. I think it was Spain versus some other team, and at the bottom it said, "Who wins? Germany wins." So no matter what, no matter who plays, no matter the match, Germany always somehow finds a way to win, even if they're not playing.
Yeah, and to think we let them live in 2006, and I still feel gutted to think how we let them beat us in Germany 2006 when we were in control of the game, we were winning 1-0, and then all of a sudden Pekerman replaces Riquelme, who was the one who was controlling the pace of the game. And then Abbondanzieri gets injured. Sad, sad memories from that day in Berlin. It's not gonna be as important this time, but I think it's gonna be a good measure to see where we really are standing right now. So
I think out of all these friendlies that Maradona has picked, maybe aside from the match from Spain, this is, I don't want to say the most important one, but it ranks up there in terms of, how high are we in terms of football rankings, Can we still compete with the Germans even with the lineup and even with the coach that we have? Because if you look at the rest, I mean, we had useless friendlies against Jamaica, against Costa Rica. The upcoming ones against, Israel or Canada, whoever it is. If you look at that, only Germany is the top team. And this is a perfect opportunity for us to see if we can still level up and match up against them.
yeah, and also one announcement that I would like to make is that I now have come to a closure when it comes to fight against Diego being the national team manager, and I think there's no possible result from here to the start of a World Cup that will see him fire from his position. So from now on, I'm gonna support him 100%. Support him and the team 100%. this doesn't mean that I won't criticize what I think is being done wrong. Of course I will, and that's one way of supporting the team as well. It's caring for the team. It's not ignoring what's going on with the team. It's not turning my back on the team. So I think right after the game against Jamaica, that third team from Jamaica, in which I confessed at the time, and I have no problems confessing it right now, I wanted Argentina to lose. I wanted Argentina to, because it was a meaningless game, but I really wanted Argentina to lose to see if that could trigger a crisis and see Maradona removed from his position as national team manager. That didn't happen, even though we came really close to that game. And right now, there's no other way than going forward. Because if we win the World Cup, which I really and very sadly doubt, but if we win the World Cup in the future, people will forget about how terrible it was in the build-up for the World Cup, and we will all forget everything, and the result will stay there to give us the third World Cup title in the history of our national team. So from now on, and like all of you, I'm 100% with behind our national team, even though I don't agree with 99% of Diego's decisions. So that's one announcement that I really wanted to make and let you all know how I feel.
Okay, now we are right about basically to the last segment of this edition podcast, and we are going to unveil all your votes about the players that you would like to see to go to South Africa. I'm going to start with the goalkeeper. So basically, there's three players here. At the bottom is Oscar Ustari with 13, Mariano Anduja 14, and Sergio Romero with 21 votes. I guess it's pretty much... you know, you guys said it all. You know, so Romero is currently the best keeper we have right now, and definitely I would love to see Anduja being his deputy and Ustari and third choice. Although some part of me would like to see the goalkeeper that plays for the Mexican club. If I'm not wrong, it's Federico Villa. Is that his name, guys?
Yeah, Federico Villa.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see him at least being one of the three keepers to go to South Africa. But let's move on in the defense right now. And basically, you guys, I mean, power to the people. Gabriel Hinze right at the bottom with 13 votes. Emiliano Insua with 17. Ezequiel Garay 18. Alongside with Zabaleta. Both Samuel and Zanetti 25. And De Michelis with 28 votes. Overall, I guess it's not a bad lineup of defense, but although I'm still curious to know where did the 13 votes came for Gabriel Hinze came from. I'm curious about that. I mean, it just goes to show that he has fans, so good for him.
I don't know about fans. I think it's Hinze himself who logged on to Mundo and voted 13 times under 13 different names.
I doubt it. I doubt he even reads Spanish, let alone English. So no way he could have found Mundo.
He only speaks fighting and red cards.
Yeah, and he uses his computer mouse with his foot, so...
Okay, no moving way. On.
No, about this list that Mundo's readers have come up with, I've seen a lot of left backs. I mean, there's Heinze with 13, Insua with 17, Zabaleta...
Yeah, but Zabaleta could also play on the right as well.
Yeah.
Same thing with Zanetti. So they're both versatile.
No, but since we have too many left backs, I thought we might leave Heinze out.
Oh. That's what you're alluding to. Well, I'm sure if it was up to you, Heinze wouldn't be anywhere near the team.
No, not at all. I would give him a Brazilian passport if it was up to me.
And make him start over whoever's starting for Brazil on the left.
No, I think I think England would have loved to use him right now, considering they have big crisis in the left back.
Oh, they could take him.
Yeah.
He played in England, and it's okay, just keep him.
Of course. Right, so moving on, going to the midfielders that people from the readers of Mundo Albiceleste have voted
Yeah.
for.
For midfield, we have Maxi Rodriguez with 11 votes, Lucho Gonzalez with 15, Ever Banega with 24, Angel Di Maria with 26, Esteban Cambiaso 25, the captain Mascherano 28, and Pablo Aimar with 28 as well.
Right, so we risk having the most voted midfielder from the Mundo Albiceleste's reader out of the work of the real World Cup list. I mean, Pablo Aimar got 28 votes, but he hasn't been called up for the Germany game. He played a good game against Peru. I really liked him. He had an assist for Higuaín to open up the game, and I think he works really well with Lionel Messi. And I would really love to see him as one of the 23 players that we are taking to the World Cup. Interesting to see that Jonas Gutierrez is not amongst these midfielders voted by the people.
Yeah, the thing about Gutierrez is I put him in midfield and people voted him to put him in defense. So he got a few votes in midfield, but not enough to make the list. And he got a few votes in defense, but not enough to make the list as well.
Okay. So basically, to recap the midfield group that people voted in, we've got Pablo Aimar, Esteban Cambiaso, Ever Banega, and Lucho Gonzalez with one foot off the plane, if you depended on Maradona. And
Oh, as yeah.
Maxi Rodriguez is probably one step higher than those in Diego's consideration. So we'll see, we'll see. Only Javier Mascherano, Angel Di Maria, and Angel Di Maria are a lock, the way I see it, and people and Mundo's reader agree with Maradona in that particular aspect. So, all right. So moving on to the forwards, on the bottom of the people's consideration is Javier Saviola with 16, Sergio Agüero 20, Diego Milito 21, Carlos Tevez 25, Gonzalo Higuaín 27, and Lionel Messi 29. He was the one getting the most votes. Interesting to see that five of the six strikers voted by Mundo's readers virtually have a ticket to South Africa, if it depends on Maradona. And the only difference will be with Javier Saviola, who got 16 votes for Mundo's readers, and is nowhere near the list. And instead, we see Martín Palermo in the real list as one of the players that is all but guarantee a place in South Africa. So Martin Palermo got only one vote from Mundo's readers. Javier Saviola got 16, Lisandro Lopez got 15, but the two of them seem to be out of the World Cup race. And interesting to see how many votes did Ezequiel Lavezzi got, because at some point he said the rumors or the media reports were suggesting that Diego Milito, Sergio Agüero, and Ezequiel Lavezzi were the three of them were fighting for two spots. But on Monday, Diego Maradona mentioned the names of Sergio Agüero and Diego Milito, and that he wants people to remember in the future the goals scored by Leo Messi, Diego Milito, Sergio Agüero, Carlos Tevez, Gonzalo Higuaín. So basically, he didn't announce it officially, but he did hinted that Diego Milito and Sergio Agüero will be in the World Cup. So with Ezequiel Lavezzi not being called up for the Germany game, I think he'll be left out as well.
Yeah, more than likely. To be honest with you, I think the match against Catalonia was Lavezzi's, make or break match, in the sense that if he does well, he's gonna continue on, and if he doesn't, well, he doesn't. And to be honest, I think he did fairly well. I think he did pretty good linking up with Higuain a few times. But if I'm not mistaken, following that match, I think it was around early January or late January, he got injured. If I'm not mistaken, Lavezzi got injured, and that's the reason why I think Diego ended up not picking him. Though I could be wrong on that, but I've heard that he was injured.
Maradona always said that Lavezzi is a positive guy to have around his teammates, that he's good for the group, and good for the team building, but you can't take a player based on that alone. And
Well, Beckerman did. But
Pekerman
Scaloni.
did. And Diego will do it with Heinze as well, because let's face it, he's not taking him based on his performances for national team or club. And if you take a look at Lavezzi's form this season, he hasn't been producing anything to write home about. I mean, he can't compare himself with other players, with the other forwards that we have at our disposal. I'm curious to know, because I know many people have been asking what happened with Mauro Zárate, why he wouldn't be called up by Maradona. How many votes did he get for Mundo's readers?
Oh, Mauro Zanatti, I don't think he got that many. Let me check one second. Oh, actually, Zanatti didn't make the list. I had only picked players that had previously played under Diego or played for the national team at one point.
So he didn't qualify. He didn't qualify to.
No, Zanatti did not qualify, no.
All right. So, yeah, I wonder how many votes would he have gotten.
Honestly, he wouldn't have gotten my vote, at least not based on this season's performances.
No. He only scored. He scored a couple of weeks ago. He scored for the first time since September, if I'm not wrong, or November. I'm not sure about that, but it was his first goal this year, and he's not setting the world alight as much as he did last season.
Exactly.
So anyway, we have already reviewed all the votes. We've counted them all, and we thank you for voting. I for one didn't, so I should have voted, but I guess I was really busy with a lot of stuff going on. So, John, anything else you want to add?
Well, I guess that's about it for this particular edition of Mundo Bisceleste podcast. But as we did mention before about the new features that we are going to introduce in our blog, and I do wish to welcome everybody to join us tomorrow for the Germany skip game. It's going to be really fun. I promise that.
He will indeed. And Roy?
No, that's about it from me. Thank you to everyone who's listening, and hope you guys can join us tomorrow for the chat.
Do you have a message for Mike or Dave?
Yeah, I guess, because you're putting me on the spot right now, and I don't exactly appreciate it, Seba. But no, you know what? The States are always going to be the underdogs. The calls always favored Canada, let's face it. They wanted Canada to win. Personally, I think Ryan Miller, the goalie for Team USA, was paid off on that last one. Credit goes to Jerome Iginla, not Sidney Crosby. That's about it. You know, you guys could celebrate for the next 4 years. We'll get you guys in against Russia. In Russia.
Right. So that's it from us. Thanks again for listening and for always being there with us. And we really hope you have enjoyed this podcast and you will enjoy our coverage for the game against Germany. So until then, big vamos Argentina.